Welcome to Adventuring the Girl Life, where we believe life for every girl should be well lived. Each week, we'll explore tips and techniques to add more adventure to your world, from fitness and self-care to career building and fulfillment in even the most mundane parts of life. So buckle up. I'm your host, Jen Whitmore, certified personal trainer, mom of two, lover of everything pineapple, and your new partner in adventure. Hey, hey, girls. Welcome back to the podcast. We have another special guest for you this week. I am with Dr. Kara Tucker. And Dr. Kara is a clinical psychologist, and we are going to be talking about her brand new book. And I want you to know that she focuses on mainly career women, women who are in business, and how she can help us overcome some of the challenges that we face with those type of things. So she's going to fit right in with everything that we talk about on this podcast. And she is another fellow Adventuring the Girl Life girl. And so we're going to welcome her in. Dr. Kara, hi. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi. How are you? It's lovely to be here.
Good. I'm so glad we were able to finally connect. So Dr. Kara is actually in Australia. And I will tell you, the funny thing is you are not our first Australian guest. And when we were talking off mic, I was so surprised when you did not have an Australian accent. So tell us a little bit of a background about why you are not Australian, but you are in Australia.
I know, go figure. A bit of a wanderlust for sure. So it was about 6 years ago, and honestly, in America, there's lots of contracts, and you've got to fulfill the contracts, and you know, you've got recruiters, and it's like turnover is every 2 years, and raising a family and really wanting a bit more of a quality of life, I just decided there was some cohorts of mine that had been to Australia, and they say, you got to go. You just really got to go. So long story short, came here actually just as an employee mindset and wanted to grow a business here with another fellow psychologist. And soon after, I discovered, you know, I'd moved my family here, you know, kids were young. We were going to be here for just a year. And really, what I soon discovered is that there was a lot more help that was required here in the rural region. And probably after about 2 months of being an employee, I have always had a very entrepreneur mindset anyway, and then just decided, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to open the practice and do this. And so just the quality of living, really, truly a catapult, exponential growth compared to probably where maybe I would have been able to do in America. And it was a mental shift. I think I needed a mental space to be able to do that and really get out of this employee to entrepreneur journey. So yeah, that's really 1 year turned into, okay, six.
Like I said, you are not our first Australian guest, but the funny thing is though, is that I feel like more familiar than just the average person with at least Australia, or even the funny things that they say there, stuff like that, because our pastors at church are from Australia. And yeah, they were in Australia for, you know, they were born there, lived there, and then they came over. I want to say, I think it's been 20 years. I think we just celebrated their 20-year mark that they came to America, and they've been the pastors of our church. And so we listen to them, you know, every week. And of course, they have all kinds of people that followed them over from Australia. So I feel like we have kind of like a connection there, and that just makes me laugh. Yeah. So for those of us who don't know, give us a little quick synopsis of what an actual clinical psychologist does. Like, obviously we know, but give us a little something more in depth.
Yeah. I would say the depth of a clinical psychologist rather than just your general is that, one, obviously we've prepared the credentials to go into what we would say pathologies, personality traits, where the ego is raised in environmentally, nature versus nurture, and we start diving in to possible patterns or core belief systems that have been accumulated through life, through family, through experiences. And we start seeing that the ego starts becoming a little bit more scared or more sad, or some of course, these labels that are in my book. And what we do is we just help support them while they're going through some shaky times, adjustment. Sometimes they just come in for three sessions and they're like, I just need some clarity. So really a mental coach, to be honest, for the past 20 years. But we go into more depth, which is more of the specific like trauma. So if we see that trauma has been unhealed, and what that might look like is someone who really has taken what I call imprints from their past and can't let them go. So they keep showing up in their everyday life. So the little girl who might have had a very fearful sort of history, they learn to maneuver through being more passive because it rewarded them well and served them well. So maybe they didn't receive punishment or discipline or something like that. However, in their adult life, being a mother and a wife and things like that, that sometimes isn't serving them so well anymore, where they have to gain some sense of assertiveness. And they're wondering why they're struggling a bit or a bit frustrated and getting caught up in some of those thoughts. And I always like to say thoughts begin just with thoughts. And some of us, if we knew what we were thinking, would we want to know, right? If would we want to know what another person was thinking? Probably not. But thoughts sometimes start forming what we call beliefs. And that's where sometimes these beliefs actually do start, you know, just like when we were kids, we believed in Santa Claus. And then all of a sudden we're told that Santa Claus doesn't exist. And so it's almost like the yes, right? I am so sorry for those in the crew, but, you know, but yeah, and that's exactly what I say. I go, that is exactly what happens in these belief systems, where when they start looking at me, when I start revealing to them these core belief systems that we often see, and that's the cool part, being a clinical psych and a psych for over 20 years, you begin to see patterns. And what's very interesting is these patterns are similar for most people. And that's why I did the book, because I have really good concrete evidence of naturalistic observation of 20 years to show that these are why I've enveloped the questions I have in the book, so that somebody can grow deeper, start asking themselves the questions, because if they don't want, you know, to come and see somebody, which is very courageous, to be honest. It's very difficult to pick up the phone, to call someone and come in to a complete stranger. And who knows what sort of experiences they've had with previous counselors. And so then at that point, a clinical psychologist is really, really an expert in really establishing the right sort of therapy for the right sort of pattern. And it's really a beautiful journey to listen to everybody's stories. I often go, gosh, I wish people were in the chair just like me to actually hear what people have to say, because it's really a beautiful experience. Whether it's painful or amazing or exciting. It's a lot more to just, hey, come in and have a chat. You know, we really work with solid evidence-based treatments that can really catapult and move somebody past these sort of beliefs that have really stricken them.
Okay, so I do want to talk about your book, but I want to ask you a couple of questions first. And one of them is, because we did mention that you're in Australia, how do you communicate with people who are not in Australia? Do you take online clients or phone calls? How does that work?
Yeah, so I also run a consulting business as well, Thrive Wellness and Consulting. And so that way we can start really leveraging the intelligence in this. And so obviously if I sign clients on that are more willing to do more of that consulting and coaching, life coaching sort of work, then of course they've got to realize that I am not a psychologist for them in that moment, in that transition of boundary. But with the skills I have, we can usually do pretty big things. Coaching is a little different than, say, psychology, because psychology, we're looking at the healing aspect, and coaching is more like, I want to be kept accountable. This is the stuff that I'm working on. So there's a little bit more different framework in regards to coaching than there is psychology, but at the same time, we can still heal through blocks and go mm-hmm. through that. So I want to be really, really conscientious that yes, I would take on international clients. I actually have some right now. And those women that are in business and things like that, that can definitely work from a sense of accountability. They're willing to kind of pull themselves up and stop with the blocks that mentally they're struggling, and then they keep wondering why they are where they're at. And so my goal with them is to try to see in all areas of their life what's actually going on, and then see where we can start shifting these beliefs and more accountability. So yeah, it's really exciting. And I right now I'm in the journey that I really do love working with women in business, because everything is psychology in business. Mm-hmm. And the mindset and working through lots of blocks that we might come up across in the growing pains of what we do. So yeah, Jen, it's exciting. I've got some clients in UK, I've got clients in America. So yeah, it's really, I think that if you don't have a mentor, get one. You know, mm-hmm. It really allows you to, whatever that growth might mean for you, it's always different for each person, but whatever that growth may mean for you, you know, some women might do really, really well in the busy brained work, being more the masculine brain. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things I actually talk about, is that women who are doers and who do, they forget what the true feminine, you know, energy really is all about, which is actually really receiving and being able to say, how am I receiving from this? And am I creating space to be able to go, do I want to do this? You know, am I okay with this? How am I doing with this? And it's a real receiving energy. And when I work with women, and one of the chapters obviously is dear pleaser, because women have a tendency to want to just please others and take care of others and do that, do. But then I would encourage all these women, what are you doing that is receiving from other people as well? And it's a really hard feeling to encompass if you're just a doer, because the left brain is so conditioned to want to keep masculine, like do and fix and take care of, while the nurturing and feminine energy is, am I okay with this? Do I want to be doing this? How does my schedule look? Am I doing okay with it? You know, and it's a real beautiful work that I do with women to get them out. Now, I do work with some women who are so creative and so in that creative space, and it's just amazing. And then they have no structure and no masculine energy. So it's really interesting to watch this balance, because it's not an all or nothing. It's a both sort of thing. So I don't know, Jen, are you familiar a lot with that masculine feminine balance and energy?
Oh, yes. And I think it's like you were mentioning, that whole, you know, left brain, right brain thing too. And I tell the girls all the time, I am a perfectionist, and that's a flaw that I have. It's something that I do work on, because I like everything to be just so. And you were saying about the do, and it is something that I personally struggle with as well, because I do think that it is that whole mothering concept as well. Like, you're taking care of other people for so long. And that's one of the things that we definitely focus here on the podcast, is who we are outside of our children. And the reason for that is because, I mean, I feel like anywhere you turn, you can find anything and everything about being a mommy. You know, I'm like, that's not something that's scarce, you know, now with magazines and blogs and everything. Everything you want to know about being a mommy, you can find, even if you look to your next door neighbor, because she's probably judging you. You know, I'm like, it's always a thing. But we don't talk about that stuff on the podcast for the main part. You know, we talk about, yes, I have kids, whatever, but we don't focus on that because your kids are going to grow up and leave you one day and you have to remember who you are and that you have a spouse that still, you know, you still need to like once your kids are gone. And so we focus on all of the other stuff. That's one of the main things that we, that I try to get across on the podcast. And going back to being a do person, I do that all the time because I feel like if I'm not doing something, then I'm being lazy. Or I'm letting someone down. You know, I'm like, I should be doing something right now because doing nothing is what lazy people do. And that's just, you know, in my own mindset or whatever. I'm not sure if other people have that experience, you know, I'm like, but that's the reason that I'm a do person. So I find all of this very interesting.
Yes. And you are touching on something that is a chapter called Dear Perfect, which I think could be a really beautiful way that we focus. Ah. Because you're exactly right. You just asked yourself, you know, do other people have this sort of mindset? And you are exactly right. This is why this chapter was born. Because somehow, some way, you know, I always like to say, we love our parents. Our parents are amazing. They're beautiful. And there are moments that they don't understand and they're not conscious parenting either. So they don't really know what they're doing here. But what starts happening in this envelopment of one, it's definitely temperament and you like to do things and you like to have things a certain way. But where this beautiful ego is born out of is that it starts becoming conditional on, let me take care of that action. So like, you know, love languages, you know, acts of service. That's really your love language. Mm-hmm. Your love language is I'm acting and creating a service for somebody and I'm doing this. And it's beautiful. But when it's not being done for you, that's when deeply we might start getting a bit frustrated or irritated or, and then we just kind of tuck it away and we say, okay, all good. But I like to be that one that's getting in the mindset going, okay, let's talk about what is frustrating you. Let's really expose what's being frustrated for you. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes that, you know, Dear Perfect wants to turn into, I need to have the clothes right. I need to make sure that they're folded right. I need to make sure that the dishes are out of the sink. And it starts getting so fine-tuned into everything that what starts happening is, let's just take a typical traditional family. The husband starts to try to do the action, say like the dishes, but then the woman
that's always the go-to, the dishes,
right? And or the laundry, and the woman will go, you know, that's not actually how you put them in the dishwasher. And so right away, what's happened is that the husband has taken that on as a potential rejection. And they don't understand, well, I'm darned if I do, darned if I don't, so I won't really do it. That's not the goal here. The goal here is we just want the dishes to be done. And we've got to start letting go of those belief systems that are connected with what's not right about it and what's just imperfect action about it. And that's mm-hmm. a big thing that I use is imperfect action. It's a win if the husband wants to do the dishes. So let him. May not be perfect, may not be right, may not be whatever, but at least he did them. Mm-hmm. And that's where the woman can actually start receiving that energy, really looking at it going, oh my gosh, my husband actually, bless his heart, he did the dishes.
Aww.
Right? And so he did the dishes and that's my receiving energy. And that's where women really need to start claiming and wanting to really hear this beautiful feminine energy again. Mm-hmm. Because that's a win. That's a win, ladies. Take it.
Right. And getting help.
Get it. Yeah. Receive that. And so, but again, that Dear Perfect is starting to fine tune everything because the brain wants more. And that's the cool part about our brain. Our mind. So like, do you remember that? I might be aging myself here, but you remember that show Little Shop of Horrors? Oh, gosh. And so this Venus flytrap is like this little plant. And then they discover that this little plant likes meat. And so there's neighbors that feed the meat, and it just starts growing and it starts getting bigger. And it's like this massive, like huge Venus flytrap that's taking up the whole house. That's sometimes how I feel the brain wants to start, you know, creating thoughts. Like it starts mm-hmm. like wanting to be hungry for more and more perfection and more perfection. And it just finds it in everything because that's what the brain does. We soulful, beautiful women just need to go, hang on. I know you want more. And this is me basically talking to my brain right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I want more right now, but actually I'm just going to spend time and play with my kids. And I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to let that work stay until, you know, I'm going to shut off for the next 3 hours. So it's really having that dialogue and that conversation with yourself and recognizing when the brain and the mind is starting to want to become this massive Venus flytrap. It just wants, it's huge. It's hungry. It wants more. It just, feed me, Seymour, feed me.
That is such a good imagery. Yeah.
Oh gosh. And so it's beautiful and it's potent, but it's also very, it's an energy that people, when anybody's around it, start going, oh my gosh, it is like, what is she going to do next? Like, am I okay? Am I going to start doing the dishes wrong? Like, you know, and it creates an energy that's beautiful at times, but then when it starts getting frustrated because these actions aren't being done deeply, you may not share them, but deeply I'm talking to the women that actually finally want to share them, that they're acknowledging their frustrations, that they're acknowledging why does my brain want to keep doing this? Mm-hmm. And so those are the deeper conversations I'm having, you know, in the room and in the chair. And yeah. And it's this chapter. I mean, it obviously goes into much more depth and it asks you more questions to unravel maybe where your path came from, you know, with that, where that dear perfect wanted to come from. But it's, so relatable because that's why it became a chapter, right? It's so relatable.
Because I have more questions that I want to ask you, but let's go ahead and talk about the book so that we can understand a little bit more as we continue. So you were saying that you've set up the chapters like Dear Perfect, Dear Fear. Tell me about that and how you came to set the chapters up like that and all about the book.
Yeah. So I think that's exactly right. So I set up these chapters because that's most of the people and the stories that I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. So these are the chapters that are the most prominent, the ones that can be the most amazing, but then also sometimes the most destructive in the mind. And that's why we have such a conversation about mental illness or dis-ease, right? Mm-hmm. And so chapters like Dear Pain, you know, Dear Whole, because some of us enter relationships thinking that I'm only a half and my partner is going to become that person that, you know, like I think Jerry Maguire said it all wrong. People don't complete us. We complete ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's just an added bonus. So we go into the chapters of, you know, and that's really the undertones of codependency, right? Codependency is too extreme, that when their partners aren't doing what they need them to do, they feel like their life is stricken from that. And so it becomes a very interesting conversation. So that's why I did these specific chapters, because these are the things that I'm seeing all the time.
Okay.
So, and I'm really into, it's funny to kind of ad lib some of it and like, I could talk all day probably, but the neurowiring. I
love it, so, and it matters.
Oh, so let me give you an example of one of the chapters, which is Dear Fear, especially pertaining to women. Neurowiring and the way that we pay attention to language is that when somebody goes, I'm anxious or I'm scared, when we really unravel that, I say, what are you scared of? You know, and I try to be careful about looking at the worst case scenario, but at the end of the day, when you keep unraveling that question of, okay, Why are you scared of that? Why are you scared that your mom got sick? What happened when your mom got sick? You know, and all of those things. And it can be different for each person. But when we really start unraveling where the fear comes from, there's another language in it that fear and courage are housed in the same area of the brain. And so when we're about to do something in growth, you know, obviously when I was about to do the book, I've never been a writer. Like I've written tons of evals and done all that work, but I've never written a book. So for 2 years, I'm recognizing that I've got to step into a courage space. Because when you start putting that out there, it's like, oh my gosh, this is raw. Are people going to like me? Am I going to be loved? Is everything okay? And that's a courage space. But once you step into the courage space, you actually start building some level of confidence. And when you keep moving forward in that courage space, but fear and courage, it's the same. It's the same emotion. But when we put the word and the linguistic meaning around it, it feels like it becomes two very separate words when in fact it's the same emotion.
Wow.
Courage is uncomfortable. Fear is uncomfortable. But when you put the different meanings to it, that's how powerful the brain is remembering emotionally, because the limbic system and the memory storage bank of the brain are housed in the same area of the brain. So when it remembers things from fear, that's why when we're asking women to go, well, why don't you just go out there and do a podcast? Or why don't you just get in front of the film? There's all this fear behind that that is blocking them from actually stepping into courage, but it's the same emotion. And that's what's really fascinating about language and how the brain takes that. And when you really start going deeper, you know, the seven layer deeper, you start actually discovering where this is coming from and really going, oh my gosh, thank you. I understand that now. And we've got to work through that and move people through that. But that's, again, one of my bigger areas that I work with in clinical psych and consulting is the language around emotions and what our brain puts meanings towards. And it's different for each person. However, the emotion is the same. So it's really, yeah, I could go on and on, but this is just part of the book. This is like one area of the book. Mm-hmm. But again, in capturing that, all of these chapters are the reason why I wrote them, because it's kind of a moody book. Like, I do like the fact that it's a moody book. The next book is going to be once you've awakened this mindset and we start entering dear soul and dear awakening, and it goes from a survival to thrive model.
Oh, that is so awesome. I'm loving all of this. So with the book, cause I know at the end, girls, we're going to talk about where you can get the book, with Dr. Kara, but I want to know, why did you start focusing on women and then dive deeper into like career women, women in business? Why did you pick this segment of people?
Well, this is where it goes a bit deeper, and I'm happy. And this is where I think being courageous was, that I had to start becoming courageous myself. So when my whole life, I just knew education was it. I finished my degrees, you know, to talk about Dear Perfect. I finished two major degrees in 3 years. I did a postdoc. I was a doctor by the time I was 30. And it was all about the destination for me. And I was not paying attention to the process. And then all of a sudden, the next destination was setting up a practice and the destination was done. That was not a problem for me. You put something in my mind, I'll do it. But the thing that was happening deeply is that I was actually sad. I was very alone and nobody was around to, one, that I wasn't letting them in because I was just this Miss Perfect. I got to do it. I got to do it my way. It's, you know, that scared ego that comes from my past, which was a past of very scary things, you know, domestic violence, My dad was a drug user. He was a drug trafficker. We were around a lot of bikie gangs, you know, things like that. And that was part of my life. So I learned street smart, but I knew I wanted something different. So honestly, Jen, deeply, I knew that if I was going through this, I wanted to be able to tell the story through, you know, good education, good naturalistic observation, deeper questions. But deeply, I finally found women like me. I found my pack. I was able to nourish and flourish and really be okay to be vulnerable and really talk about those fears with women that liked being Miss Dear Perfects too. And then when I discovered, you know, a deeper spiritual journey and really knowing that God's been a part of my life since I was 14, but in a way now that it's led to more spiritual giftings and really hearing and vision and discernment, that's when I knew, you know, one, thank you, Lord, I'm here to be the vessel to support other women, because if I could do it and get through the scars and get through the traumas and really in poverty, I could be the one to go, that no matter what step of the way, at some point, there's going to be a request from the Lord to step into a greater growth if you want to envelop this spiritual journey. And once I said yes, this is what started happening. And I knew that a big part of this was, that's what I was scared about. I didn't want to reveal a history that I had. I wanted to be taken serious. I wanted to be the doctor, but I can't make those two separate. They are one, and it's just who I am. And I'm happy to courageously step into that now. But there was a lot of fear there, because once you start getting into exposure and you start revealing who you are and why you're doing the book, that's, I think, deeply why I was really scared. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, oh, I don't want to go there again. But I've done the work. I've been able to get through that past 2 years in mentoring to be able to go now, yeah, I'm ready to take this global. I'm ready to get ready for the criticisms. And any of you that know Brené Brown's work, you know, she knew within instance, you know, everybody was stating, you know, hating and loving, you know, and that's a preparation. That's a psychological preparation to go out there and go, yep, I already know I'm going to be criticized and judged. And I'm welcoming that now. I'm in a place where I can welcome that now. But that is one of the biggest reasons why I think I wanted to do the book, because from a personal side, but then a business side, I thought, geez, I'm going to get real. And this is the realness. And this is the merging of all of it, that I'm human too, just like all of you. And I think women really need to start hearing their voice, really start paying attention to their voice and wondering, are you sad? Are you scared? Let's start unlabeling this. Let's start shedding these labels, right? Because we're more than that. And like you said, you're more than a mother. You're a woman. You're a wife. And it's not just those labels alone. You're a spirit that's ready to be reckoned with. You know, you're a spirit that's ready to be awakened and awaken other women to this and helping them and working with them and being there. Because we're in a time right now where healing is needed a lot. Healing is really needed a lot. My books are full. Okay.
Wow.
Your books are full. And that's how I know we need other change agents out there mm-hmm. to be doing this work.
Yeah, that's so amazing. It really is. And I think that you have hit an amazing topic, you know, nail on the head, because you're right. There's so many people, women, you know, that need to be healed from sometimes just normal things, you know, things that don't have to be so life altering or traumatic, but just You know, like something someone said sometime ago hurt my feelings and it's stuck with me ever since. And now every time a situation comes up, I hear that voice. And you know, that's not catastrophic, but it is hurtful and hindering, and it's holding you back. Even if it's in a small way, it's still holding you back. And so I think that what you're doing is absolutely amazing. I personally have been to therapy after I had my miscarriages. And at the time, I tell all my girls about all my dirty laundry for the most part, so they know.
Which is lovely, by the way.
Thanks.
Because it's that vulnerability. It's that vulnerability.
Yeah. And it's not like, oh yay, look at all my dirty laundry. You know, I'm like, but I just hope that with the podcast and with, you know, my own story that I can somewhere help somebody, because we all have our thing. But at the time when I started going, it took me a while just to take that first step and actually go, because I was that person who was of the mindset that if you need therapy, it's because you're weak. It's because you can't keep your crap together. Like crazy people or weak people, you know, go to therapy. And so once I finally came into that space of, hey, you're not doing well and you need to get out of this because you still have two kids to take care of. You cannot live like this forever. It's time for you to do something. And the bottom line was, is that I just needed someone to listen. And I didn't, you know, I went for a while. I didn't go forever. And it was amazing. And then a while later, I ended up going back. And, you know, then I stopped going. So it's not something, you know, I feel like as a message to convey to others, it's not something that is for people who are weak. It's not something for people who can't hold their, you know, life together, or that you're going to be going forever. Sometimes you just need an ear of someone who's unbiased, who doesn't know you, you know, it's a great thing.
Yes. Yes, very much. And you know, the beautiful part about the brain on that sort of level too, when you say to me, you know, obviously two miscarriages and that loss, that sadness and that grief that goes on with it, you know, grief is like another relationship. It doesn't go away. It's a new relationship that we have to accommodate. And in that, the power of the brain emotionally is that it becomes so big, it almost feels like a label or an identity. And it's hard to kick it because it's so emotional, and it's sad. And so when women can actually recognize, I am accepting that I am just sad over this. I don't understand it. I may never understand it. But I know I'm just sad with it. And then shifting into a different space and acknowledging that that's always going to be with you, that you don't have to let it go, that it's a part of you. But it's where I see when women start identifying with it and it takes over their life. And that's how powerful the brain is with emotion. Yeah, I don't want to give too much of the book away, but there's areas of how I see the brain, how I see God in it, how I see all of it. And you're really touching on some beautiful things, because it's so true. We don't know when that stuff is going to come up in our life. And, you know, that's, nobody's given us a pamphlet or, you know, a master, like I kind of say, this is the master class to life. And we've got another 60 summers to live. So how do we want to live them? But in these moments, they feel like years. And it's now I do believe it is my job to get people to stop their suffering faster, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be in suffering that fast, because, you know, your kids, exactly right, your other children need you. But we can welcome those other kids that were not with you and remember them and allow it to be a space that's free. And it's a new relationship, if that makes sense. So it's really lovely. I think it's great that you're vulnerable with your audience. And I think vulnerability is key here. Hence the reason why these were going to be the areas that I knew we needed to go, which can be really fun. And there's really fun elements of the book and then really deep elements of the book. So yeah, it's really an honor to hear your story and to really be able to respond, because many women will relate with that.
Very good. I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. So I am really, really excited. I cannot wait to get my copy. Will you please tell us where we can get the book?
Yeah. So in the midst right now, the best place at this point would be www.thrivewithdrcara.com. Again, www.thrivewithdrcara.com. And that will take you to my website. And then there's a shop up top and you can click in to that shop and order your beautiful book. And right now there's a discount because I just want reviews. You know, Amazon allows us to do this beautiful piece where we can just ask for reviews. And that's where I'd really request all of your help. Get these reviews in there. And you'll get it at a discount for the next month.
Absolutely. So we will put all the information in the show notes, girls, where to get the book and how to get in contact with Dr. Kara. So the website that you just gave us, this is where we can get the book, but is this also the place where we can communicate with you?
Yes. So you can absolutely book any, you know, first time, what I call insight sessions. Mm-hmm. So it just gives you some insight into what's happening with your life. I'm happy to do that for you. And then of course, there's also retreats and masterminds that can be a part of it too. So yeah, the focus right now is definitely more of getting out there and doing the tour with the book. So I will be probably in your local areas soon. But definitely, you can reach me in these appointments and make a shout out to me, and I'd be happy to listen to the call. Yeah.
Awesome. Very good. Well, thank you so much for being on with us today. I have absolutely loved your topic. I can't wait to get the book. And this has just been a really fun interview because we all are so complex. You know, like you said, every person is different. And I just think that all of these things are going to help the girls so much. And girls, again, we'll put everything in the show notes. But Dr. Kara, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much, Jen. I appreciate you and I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Okay, girls, that is it. We are wrapping up today's episode. And I, of course, will be back with you next week, every Tuesday, as usual. And don't forget to please go online and leave us a review so that more girls can grow. And until next week, adventure on.